From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. President Obama has announced his intention to keep 8,400 U.S. troops in Afghanistan through the end of his presidency in January to train and advise Afghan forces and combat al-Qaeda and Islamic State extremists.
The security situation in Afghanistan remains precarious. Even as they improve, Afghan security forces are still not as strong as they need to be. With our help, they're still working to improve critical capabilities, such as intelligence, logistics, aviation, and command and control. At the same time, the Taliban remains a threat.
Mr. Obama had initially planned to cut the number of U.S. troops from the current level of some 9,800 to about 5,500 by the end of the year. U.S. forces have been present in the South Asian country for nearly 15 years, following the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks planned in Afghanistan under the Taliban regime. President said during the NATO summit in Warsaw later this week he'll meet Afghan President Ashraf Ghani and the chief executive, Abdullah Abdullah, and press coalition partners to commit troops and funding to strengthen the country through the end of the decade. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu continues his four-nation Africa tour. He was in Rwanda Wednesday, where he visited the Kigali Memorial Center, where more than a quarter million of some 800,000 victims of the 1994 genocide are buried in mass graves.
My people know the pain of genocide as well, and this is a unique bond that neither one of our peoples would prefer to have. Yet we both persevered despite the pain, and despite the horror, we survived. We never lost hope, and you never lost hope.
The Israeli leader pursuing closer security and trade ties with Africa. This is VOA News. A seven-year official inquiry into Britain's involvement in the Iraq War concluded Wednesday that intervention was unnecessary, and Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein posed no imminent threat. The inquiry led by John Chilcutt, a former top British civil servant, said the U.S.-led invasion was based on flawed intelligence and assessments and not justified. The exhaustive report criticized former Prime Minister Tony Blair and his aides for basing Britain's involvement on now discredited information of Iraq's biological and chemical weapons programs. In response, Blair called it the most difficult decision he made.
The decision to go to war in Iraq and to remove Saddam Hussein from power in a coalition of over 40 countries led by the United States of America was the hardest, most momentous, most agonizing decision I took in my 10 years as British Prime Minister. For that decision today, I accept full responsibility.
The conflict left 179 British soldiers dead. Chilcutt said the intervention went badly wrong, with consequences still felt today, but Blair said he profoundly disagrees, calling Saddam Hussein a wellspring of terror, a threat to peace and his own people. Hundreds of protesters in Kenya set fire to a police station Wednesday, where three men, including a rights lawyer, were held after being abducted and eventually killed, allegedly, by police. The bodies of lawyer Willie Kamani and a critic of police abuse, a client and driver, were found Friday in a river. They disappeared June 23rd. Four policemen are in custody during an investigation. The Syrian army has declared a unilateral 72-hour ceasefire across the country Wednesday, coinciding the three-day Eid al-Fitr festivities that mark the end of the holy month Ramadan. The regime of calm, as it's called, is expected to last to midnight July 8th local time. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry welcomed the declaration, adding that hopefully it could perhaps be a harbinger of possibilities to come. His spokesman is John Kirby.
We welcome any decrease in the violence. And though we've seen some reports of violations already in this regime of calm that just got announced, so far, generally, it appears as if it has resulted in a decrease in the violence, which is always a good thing. But it doesn't change the fact that we want to move beyond temporary cessations, temporary ceasefires, to truly enduring ceasefires.
The rebel Free Syrian Army says it would respect the truce. Another group, however, Jaish al-Islam, said the announcement by the regime is purely to escape international pressure. Three astronauts blasted off early Thursday from the Russian Space Launch Complex in Kazakhstan to begin a two-day trip to the International Space Station. Russian Anatoly Ivanchin was joined by American Kate Rubens and Japan's Takuya Oinishi. A survey showing surging activity in the U.S. service sector helped boost Asian stocks on Thursday. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.